Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, February 25th, 2016. It's about 3:20 UTC as we're starting to record this. I'm Sam Minter and Yvonne Bo is with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Yep.
So did you have an exciting week?
Let's see. We had the water heater catch fire.
Oh, well, that's always a plus. That's what they're supposed to do, right?
Right. I don't know. I wasn't home. Some short circuit developed in it. The thing isn't where the air handler for the AC is in. My wife calls me in a panic. I called a couple of neighbors. There was a short circuit in the cabling, and it was like just spewing smoke and stuff. Got it all shut down. I don't know. I need a new water heater.
Excellent. So are you?
But we have two water heaters.
Okay, I was going to say, are you in this a cold water situation right now?
We have this was not the water heater. Regardless, even if it would have been that one, we wouldn't have. We have two water heaters.
Right.
So just
they support multiple units in your condo, right?
No.
Just yours.
My actual condo has two water heaters.
So it's your actual unit. One of them like died.
Correct. Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. So yeah. So that was something weird. You know, not expected.
I've had the water heater fail, but not actually fire.
And, this last couple of weeks, I've had to actually drive and commute to the city. Okay, over here to city, meaning Miami, downtown. I really hope to God that I don't have to go back ever to another job where I have to regularly commute.
my trip home today... was of the 90-minute plus variety, because as I'm leaving work, I made the mistake of leaving like in a prime rush hour, and so like even just leaving the building, I several times was not able to get into the place that I wanted to be in.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to go in a somewhat alternate route, and then there's this, and then there's this, and then it was all backed up, and blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, usually I managed to do it in less than an hour. Today was over 90 minutes.
Well, here's the thing. You know, to go to downtown Miami, it used to take me usually, on average, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Lately... the average has been 1 hour and 20 minutes. The average.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, and this is even with the fact that they added express lanes and shit. Look, the express lanes, honestly, they are, I guess without them it would be worse. And the thing is that the toll on the express lanes, it's a $10 toll. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm paying... I mean, and then there's accidents, and I'm like, I don't know. What a waste of fucking time.
Yes, commuting is a huge suck of, time, energy, money, everything.
I mean, I'm okay with doing it every once in a while, because you do want to have meetings with people and see people and whatever. Yeah, every once in a while. But if I had to go down there every day, I mean, man, it's brutal.
Yeah, like my commute into my office right now if I go outside of rush hour, it's like 36 minutes, which is reasonable. I can't complain too much about 36. But if I have to go to or from during rush hour, it balloons and it's just crazy. And yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Our main show today. We are, of course, going to talk about the election. We've had results in a couple new places, and we've got Super Tuesday coming up before our next show. We've also got updates on the Apple versus FBI thing. We've got updates on the Supreme Court. So that'll be a show. Basically the same three topics as last time. I don't have anything extra on my list for a lightning round. So unless you got something, we won't bother with the lightning round today either.
That's fine. Let's go then.
But before we get started, I did want to mention one more thing.
One more thing. Oh boy. What happened?
We had some feedback.
Oh, we did? Oh, yeah, we did.
We had some feedback on our Facebook page, and yep. I wanted to bring it up because it's somewhat contradictory feedback. We had...
No, he was...
No, no, there were two. I'm including the one that came in just an hour before we were recording as well.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
So, on the one hand, we had somebody saying, interesting, a bit long, but I have lots of time. And, of course, this is on our Facebook page, so you can go and you can join the conversation. It was on our last episode, Curmudgeon's Corner Conspiracy Machine.
Oh, I see this. Okay, now. Okay,
and so... You know, and I said, sorry, we try to keep it under 90 minutes, but sometimes fail. Obviously, last week we were like 2 hours, 15 minutes, something like that. You know, he said, no problem. It's nice to occasionally hear subjects discussed until the logical end has been achieved, as opposed to the usual 39-second soundbite discussing whether the president should tell Congress to attempt an anatomically impossible feat. And by the way, this was Edward, a listener of ours. And hi. I believe it's his first time commenting. So thank you very much, Edward.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Yes.
Now, then a couple days later, we had another comment from another person named Ron. And their comment was too many subjects.
I didn't think we had too many subjects. Well, I'm sorry, Ron.
It was basically the election. Apple, Supreme Court, and then a couple other random things. We did have a lightning round. We had our usual stuff. So we ended up, we talked about my microphone, we talked about internet quality,
we talked about streaming video. Look, if you go back many time ago, we tried to streamline the show. We used to be shorter. Now we're,
When we hit our 400th show, I actually posted some graphs of like how the length of the show has been on an upward trend since we started doing it. And we sort of said, okay, let's stop this upward trend. Let's try to max it out. Our target is between 60 and 90 minutes. And for a while, we were doing timers. We were doing, okay, it's going to be a 15-minute segment, and there's a bell goes off at the end of the segment, and then we move on.
I forgot about the bell. That's right.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the bell. It's a few feet away from me as I'm sitting here. We got out of control, and we admit, like, we've had a couple of two-hour-plus episodes in the last month, and, you know, if we're, like, doing live commentary on a debate or something, and the debate is 2 hours long, okay, our show is going to be 2 hours long.
And I'm falling asleep at it.
Because, yeah, but if you and I are just talking, you know...
We're going long.
You know, it's late in the evening for you, and I've got stuff to do, and we're sitting here talking for 3 hours. And I enjoy talking to 3 hours, but I admit it does get to be a bit of a long show. So I will ask our listeners, when we post this show, and we've asked this question before, but we've got some new listeners that, you know, maybe want to jump in, but go to the Facebook post announcing, this episode of the show, and tell us what your thoughts are on what's a good length of the show. And how many topics should we be doing? Our general pattern, our prototypical pattern that we've done recently is like a little intro segment where we bullshit about what's going on with our lives and little things like Yvonne's water heater blowing up and things like that. Then we do three meaty segments where we're each of which is on a topic of the day.
Untimed.
And then a lightning round with little topics at the end. For a while we were trying to keep that first intro segment to five to 10 minutes and then 15 for the three main segments and then 15 for the lightning round.
We've obliterated all those.
But like, right. Do you want us to go back to that? Or do you like the free form? Or, you know, do you think we should do... what do you think? I mean, is an hour show... Should we be targeting an hour? Should we be targeting 90 minutes? Or do you, like, actually really enjoy two-hour shows? Now, honestly, two-hour shows is a bit much even for us, but...
Yes.
But, you know, let us know your preferences. And we will take them into account and then ignore them.
No, we'll take them to the count, do them for a while, and then forget about them. Which is probably our really real modus operandi. Okay.
Yeah, yes. Just like we don't swear anymore on this show.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like we tried that, then we just completely forgot about that.
Anyway, do come on Facebook and comment and tell us what you think on that. In the meantime, we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. I think let's save the election for the end again.
Yeah.
And we'll do Apple, we'll do the Supreme Court, and then we'll dive into the updates on both the Democratic and Republican sides of election 2016. And, you know, actually, we'll see how it goes. I want to start talking a little bit about what the general might look like, too. But we'll see if we get to that this week. We got plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back after this. This is Sam from the future here. We're about to do a segment on Apple versus the FBI. At the time we recorded this, Apple had not yet submitted their legal brief, appeal, whatever it is, to the order asking them to break into the phone. They have now, before I'm actually getting this out and putting this episode into the world. But otherwise, the rest of our discussion still holds. So here you go. Okay, we are back. So first off, let's do Apple versus the FBI. There have been continuing back and forth. Apple and the FBI have been sort of doing a little PR battling statements with each other since we last spoke a week ago.
Yes.
Is it really just back and forth slamming each other, or is there anything new substantive since last week when we spoke?
I don't think anything substantive. I think it's been just a lot of posturing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on both sides. Well, look, actually, more on the government side. The government's been calling Apple names.
Oh, and as a reminder to anybody who doesn't know, this is all about the FBI trying to get Apple to unlock a phone that belonged to one of the San Bernardino shooters. And Apple says that it would require them to write new software that would make iPhones in general less secure. And so, therefore, they don't want to do it. There's been a court order. Apple is appealing, and there's a PR battle going on. Okay, continue, Yvonne.
And in Sam and I's opinion, and actually a lot of people in the tech industry, okay, Apple is we believe that because of the inherent security risks that you would be creating and the bad precedent that you would be setting, okay, from governments being able to demand Apple to do something like this, that this is a terrible idea. I think you agree.
Yes. No, I think we're entirely on the same page here. Now, of course, the FBI, one of the things that happened this week is they said, look, you know, there's no precedent here. It's only this one phone, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, immediately, like within 24 hours, there were like various police agencies across the country saying, no, actually, this is really important to us because we've got hundreds of phones here waiting. If this works, then we want Apple to help with these, too.
Right.
So, which immediately proves Apple's point on this. Now,
yes.
Now, of course, even then, you still have the situation where you're like, okay, well, these are legal court orders. There's a process in place, blah, 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 blah. It's not like it's out in the wild that anybody can do it. But as we pointed out last week, and many other people have pointed out, you know, if you open it to the FBI, you have to open it to Chinese security, too. You have to pick the government of your choice worldwide that you dislike the most. And guess what? You know, you have to follow their processes too.
That's
once
right.
You've shown that it's possible. And you know, of course, once it's out there, it can get into other hands as well, or once it exists. Now, another thing that was said in this sort of point counterpoint going back and forth between Apple and the government is, the FBI saying, look, it doesn't even have to leave the Cupertino campus. We can give you the phone. You can do your magic on it, change it, get it unlocked, and then give it back to us. You don't even have to show us the software you used to do it.
What kind of bogus bullshit is that? I mean, come on.
So one part of that, of course, is like from a digital forensics point of view, it's actually very important that you know the details of exactly what's done to that phone. In this case, there might not be an issue of sort of defense discovery in court because the guys are dead. But if this was to be used as evidence in some sort of future case or trial or whatever,
that would be, yeah,
then it would be discoverable because the defense would be like, I don't know what they did to the phone.
Right.
They could have planted this evidence on there. They could have done this. So of course this stuff would have to be subject to inspection by all sorts of people, in order to get past that. That's where we are. I mean, do we know, has Apple officially filed their appeal yet? I don't think they have.
They had until Friday. I think it was Friday, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so they'll probably do it at the very last moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, my whole thing is just, and then, of course, the government was also accusing Apple of this all being a PR stunt as well.
Yes.
Position as well. And like, and there's been a number of people that have been making that opinion, and I'm just like, I mean, I really, the more irritating thing about
this. Well, I mean, if you look at the lack of, if you look at the polls that have been done on this, it's pretty split, but more people agree with the FBI. So if it's PR for Apple, it's not working very well.
Yeah. But my thing is that in terms of the people that are, I see so many people making opinions about this that just know shit about absolutely nothing. I mean, they are just saying stuff without really understanding any of the implications of facts about it. And I'm just like reading, and I'm just hearing these people, and I'm like, you guys are all idiots, right? You're just clueless. You have no clue about this. There's been a lot of voices out there basically expressing their opinion about,
well, look, it's easy to look at this and say, what, you want to help protect the terrorists?
Well, one of the things that I understood, and I heard one of the arguments that I did not know this from before, for example, safe companies are not made to crack their own safes.
Hmm.
Or to put back doors so you can get into their safes.
Right.
Government goes, finds a safe. You know what? They got, listen, either you crack it or you're screwed. Forget it. Safe company's not going to, you can't force a safe company to help you. And my,
of course, the difference is in most safes, like you can brute force that thing open, you know, and you're not going to destroy the contents.
Actually, no. In a lot of cases, that's not right. It's in a lot of cases, some certain safes are designed that if you brute force it, you're going to destroy the contents.
I'm sure those exist. Are they common?
Well, they're obviously, they're not as common as, say, the use of an iPhone.
Right.
Okay. All right. The point being is that you don't see somebody that made something secure, okay, in other cases being forced to make an unsecure on purpose.
Right.
Okay? Or being forced to crack the security of their own security system for some other purpose. Okay? It's just not... My understanding is this is not a common request. I mean, it's like, you know...
Well, it's also been pointed out, by the way, that this is not... like and we even mentioned last week, the FBI's had all kinds of other ways to get the information that's relevant here.
Yes.
First of all, this wasn't the guy's only phone. They actually got access to another phone. They already got information off the cloud that was associated. So
yes.
email accounts, even an iPhone backup. But one of the problems was the backup was old. But
it was a week old because probably the phone didn't connect to the Wi-Fi. They got to plug it in, whatever.
Yep. But they were hoping to, you know, force it to do another backup because then they could get the stuff off the cloud. But somebody sort of screwed up the process and changed the iCloud password.
Right.
And the justification was they wanted to shut off the ability to do remote wipes and stuff like that because they were worried about somebody.
Well, yeah, but by doing that, then they couldn't fucking get back it up again.
Yeah, and like using that, if they still had the original iCloud password,
then they would be fine.
They potentially could have done a password reset remotely. And
right.
All kinds of stuff that becomes options. But no. So
they fucked up.
It looks like they fucked up, but also the point is they had all kinds of other options. They are specifically, and they don't even know that there's any interesting information on this phone. They're just doing a phishing expedition.
They're a fishing expedition, exactly.
Because this phone was the guy's work phone. Like, if you've got a separate work phone, are you going to put all your terrorist plans on your work phone?
Sure! Not.
Anyway, so, I mean, maybe he did, but the point is they are specifically using this for the purpose of a test case. This crime has already been solved. They knew who did it. They've got all kinds of other ways to try to figure out who the guy was talking to, what blah, 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 blah. They've got the phone records. They've got all this other stuff. They don't really, really need this phone, except as this test case to try to push this issue to crack this open so that they can do this anytime they want.
Right.
And, you know, I mentioned all these other law enforcement agencies have all these other phones. This isn't all like terrorist cases. They're drug cases. They're this, there's that. And, you know, you can always with these things, try to make up a scenario that says, okay, you've got like, you know, a child porn slavery ring. Isn't that good enough that you want to help crack open the phone and save the poor children or something? And okay, I'm sympathetic to that, but you know, immediately,
it's like another way of time. It's like the damn Jack Bauer moment, you know, Jesus.
But almost immediately these things start being used for relatively minor crimes. And so it's
crimes against you. You know, for stealing your stuff. So your stuff becomes unsafe. So that way your personal information gets stolen and shit like that. And a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, it's just.
Right. But my point is that it's like the Patriot Act scenario where, you know, people always say, well, you know, slippery slopes, you know, you don't always go down the slope. You stop at some point. Right. But what we've seen repeatedly with this kind of thing. With all of the expansion that was passed under the Patriot Act being the biggest example, that was all passed in the name of anti-terrorism, is now used for anything and everything all the time.
Right.
And it's been common for that kind of thing to happen. So what do you expect? And of course, one of Apple's other reactions, which, you know, they're not all kinds of public details about yet, but you know they're going to be doing everything they can to tighten up the next versions of the Apple operating system and the Apple hardware to make it so next time they get a court order like this,
it's like impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've admitted this is possible. They just think it would be bad to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you're going to inherently make... You know, the phone, you're going to make something that unfortunately could easily fall the wrong hands, can be demanded by a lot of people to use, and will just, you know, given how many, like, requests have crawled out of the woodwork for this, which is make the damn phones ridiculously insecure. I mean, especially, I gotta say, the most chilling one is the one where grab the phone and you could just, you know, plug it in, plug it something outside and just fucking brute force the password.
Right.
I mean, that would, I mean, if that one doesn't scare you, then what the hell? I mean, you can brute force the password, there's no delay on it, and you could, like, use an external device in order to input the fucking passwords. I mean, really? I mean,
now even then, they've pointed out, like, you can do things like that's still only vulnerable if you're using the default, like, 4 or 6 digit numeric password. If you do a much longer password, if you use alphanumerics, if you do this, if you do that, even with that technique, you can make it so that it'll take 5 years to crack your phone or whatever.
Yeah, but most people use 4 digit passcodes.
Yeah. Well, frankly, lots of people don't use passcodes at all. But,
well, I will say that most people I meet, like, use a passcode, at least. And if they use it, it's usually the 4-digit kind. So, you know, this is just bad. I mean, it's bad, and the way that the government's going about it, I think, as somebody said, you know what? I guess you could legislate it, but I think, like, you know, the worst effect of it is, great, so you show that the American government can make Apple open one of those damn phones, right? So what the fuck is Apple now going to do when China, Russia, pick any other bad country you want, is now going to be trying to force Apple to go and crack their phones? If not, they're not going to be allowed for. I mean, the impact globally on Apple could be pretty devastating.
Yeah. And one thing to point out is, like, people have brought up the comparison to Lavabit, which got the order to release their keys to let people in their encrypted email service, their secure email service that they did. And Lavabit responded by saying, okay, we're shutting down, we're going out of business.
Right.
Apple can't quite do
that. Can't do that.
You know, so if they fight this and it goes all the way up in the courts, however high it ends up going, Supreme Court maybe, and Apple loses, you know, at a certain point, Apple has to say, okay, we're doing it under protest, but we will do it. And they're kind of stuck because, as a public company, they can't just say, okay, never mind, we're not going to sell iPhones anymore.
Right. So this is just, I mean, the government has really put Apple in a really, really, really bad situation. And they did it on purpose. And that really pisses me off right now.
Yep. Okay, let's take a break. And we will be back and we'll talk about the Supreme Court. Back after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classics celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit CreepyClassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we are back. And it's time to talk about the Supreme Court.
Well, I was going to more talk about the fact, okay, I mean, we know we got the can't do, we got a vacancy in the Supreme Court, but I guess if I take the message from the Republican Congress, I understand it correctly, I guess they're not planning on doing anything for the rest of the year. I mean, am I taking that right?
Well, have they mentioned things other than the Supreme Court stuff that they're not going to do?
I thought there was something else.
To be honest, I don't think anybody expected Congress to do anything this year anyway.
But anything at all? Nothing.
I'm sure they'll name some post offices.
That's good, I guess. I mean, what else are we talking about? Well, we have that, right? But we're talking about something else that Congress needed to do.
We'll have another budget crisis before the election, won't we? Like in October?
No,
or something?
I think that got hit kind of canned beyond the election.
Oh, okay.
So that's not an issue. But actually, what I was going to say is we're talking about this whole mess with Apple and whatever, and somebody said the Congress should make a, you know, pass a law or something or whatever. Fat chance of that happening. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's just, I just find it like real, it's, I mean, they don't give a shit. I mean, I don't know. They don't plan, I guess, on doing anything. I mean, well, I don't,
look,
I mean,
just on the court stuff, the main development is that, you know, when we talked last week, there were a bunch of people talking about how they weren't going to, you know, Obama shouldn't even nominate anybody, et cetera, et cetera. This week, they actually came out officially and said that no matter who Obama nominates, they're not even going to hold hearings. Not only that, they're not even going to have courtesy visits with whoever nominees. They're not going to even talk to them.
Right.
They're just not going there. And, you know,
maybe they should not, you know, somebody suggested, you know, ingest that maybe should nominate Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I think I said that last week.
I heard some other people say it this week. There you go.
Well, and
that would be fantastic for him to refuse to consider, review himself.
Yeah, he can't talk to himself either.
Right.
Well, you know, and they were floating Governor Sandoval, who's a Republican from Nevada,
right,
a moderate Republican from Nevada. I don't think they're actually going to do that, but they're just floating names that would, you know, again, we talked about this last week. They were floating names that will make Republicans look bad by not considering them.
But and the whole thing about this, right? So
this seems like an unforced error by the Republicans, because all they had to do was wait for him to nominate somebody,
and say, oh my God,
they're so liberal, blah, blah, blah. And then they've got the votes. They could deny them.
Right.
I guess that relies on the Republican caucus staying intact, of course, and no people defecting. But this does, too.
Right.
You know, but they could have just, you know, okay, send your nominee. And then they shut him down and vote no, and then vote no, and then vote no for anybody. They could do that. And at least then they're looking at somebody and saying no. And I guess they're going to be in that position anyway, because effectively they're saying no by not having the hearings. But once there's a name attached to this, then people will say, oh, that guy, he seems kind of reasonable. What are they doing? You know?
Right.
Yeah. But this way, they're just sort of, this whole, we're going to say no before you even suggest somebody, seems rash. Let's say, I mean, even if, okay, we know they're not going to like anybody that Obama nominates, but the politics of it just seems wrong to say it up front rather than wait for him and then say no.
Right. I think that, but even beyond the fact about waiting to say no and so forth, I mean, if you're the Republicans right now and you got to be thinking, I'm not guaranteed to win the White House, right? I mean, it's not a guarantee, okay? You know, you could believe that maybe you have the bigger odds, okay, and you could, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm going to go confident with my balls, you know, we're going to win, we're winners, you know, blah, blah, blah. But look, let's be realistic. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're at. You're not guaranteed what the hell's going to be there after the election, right?
Right.
So right now you've got bargaining. Look, you got power to bargain and to get somebody who probably you could get a candidate that's like probably – you know, much better than, say, what if, and it's a realm of possibility, that the Democrats win the White House again, and oh, by the way, you guys lose the Senate.
Right.
Which is a very realistic scenario.
Well,
then you're going to wind up with a scenario where double-barreled, fuck you, we're going to pass wherever the fuck we want because you fucking assholes went and acted like fucking jerks. So you know what? Fuck you.
Well, and this is what you're going to get. The Democrats at that point would use the nuclear option to eliminate the filibuster on Supreme Court nominees as well, because they already did that to eliminate the filibuster on lower courts.
Right.
There's nothing stopping them other than politics from doing that for Supreme Court nominees as well.
Yeah.
And so if you have this scenario play out for the rest of this year, then yeah, they would do that when the Senate takes over. And frankly, even if if the Democrats win the Senate and we get President Trump, then you're still going to have like a 2-week period with the Democratic Senate before President Trump takes over, and they'd pass anybody who was in the waiting at that point if that happened. Now, the Democrats may not win the Senate, but I think this kind of action makes it more likely than it was before. You know, like when we did our annual prediction show, I did not predict. Well, I predict the best that they could do, the Democrats could do, is a 50-50 Senate. But I think this increases the odds of the Democrats doing well in the Senate races. I could be wrong.
But I do believe it does. I mean, I don't see how this is a winning strategy for the Republicans. I think that a far more pragmatic strategy, but apparently pragmatism has been thrown out the fucking window with any other stuff lately.
The potential winning scenario here is it gets your base to come out and vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's just one of these things where I'm just like, you know, this is just bad. This is just not good strategy. Okay. I just don't think it is. I mean, they're going thermonuclear. It's either right now balls to the wall or nothing. Okay. All right. We're not even dealing with this president. We don't care about him. You know, we're going to act like, you know, he's already out of office. And you know, we're going to go balls to the wall.
Yeah, I guess they feel like they must feel they have nothing to lose for this.
I just don't see how it's a good strategy to get what you really want.
Well, let's play it out. What they really want is a Republican in the White House. Does this help them get there?
No.
The other thing they really want is to just make sure you don't get another liberal justice on the Supreme Court, period, end of story.
I don't think that helps them. This helps them either.
Well, it keeps it, it pushes it back a few months at least. And possibly longer. I mean, as we said, you know, okay, if the Republicans keep the Senate, then, and a Democrat wins next time around, they could do this for the next 4 years.
I guess they could. Yeah. Okay. But I don't know. This to me just seems, it's just, I have a hard time with the scenario that is just absolute 100% obstruction. Okay. Because you're not trying to do anything other than just not do, you know, if you say yay, I say nay. I say nay, you say, I mean, it's just, you know, I just don't, it's really frustrating to me that we elected these fucking people to govern, and you've got one group, I guess, or maybe, I guess the Republicans weren't elected to govern, just to sit over there and just say no.
Well,
I guess.
And that's actually a very important point that I've made before, which is that there is a significant portion of the Republican Party, and I thought it was smaller in the Senate, but that is exactly the goal. The goal is to make sure the government does as little as possible, period.
I mean, even in functions that are, I mean, that are vital, I guess.
Well,
such as having a function.
There's a disagreement on what is vital and what can be allowed to pass.
Yeah, I think it feels like, you know, I was thinking about this. It feels like The Last Stand, you know.
Well, everything we're seeing with the Republicans right now feels like a party like
ready to explode.
I mean, it's spinning apart.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got on the presidential side, you've got the Trump thing, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. You've got on the congressional side, you had sort of the Tea Partiers versus the central versus the leadership and blah, blah, blah. And you've got all of these different factions who've never been able to sort of get together, having trouble getting together, except, you know, they're actually showing a unified front on this Supreme Court stuff. And if you look at it on the, yes, it's Trump that's winning, but if you look at Trump's numbers, he's, you know, all of these different factions of the Republicans like him, other than the people already in charge.
Right. Right. That's absolutely right. Other than anybody in charge. Yep.
Yeah. And so, yep. I don't know. Anyway, so this is a big gamble. I mean, we'll see who Obama ends up nominating. It sounds like it's going to take a little while. And frankly, you know, he has to find somebody who's willing to be sitting on the sidelines with their name and nomination and nothing happening for 11 months.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that would be like that.
I'm sure there's plenty of people, but
I'll get take a nomination to the Supreme Court.
I don't think you'd do
well. Well, somebody said that I looked a lot like Scalia, so there you go. Maybe the Republicans will believe that.
They'll think you're actually just him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
I kind of look like him, you know. I talk a lot. I heard, you know, he asked a lot of questions on there, so I'm sure I'll ask a bazillion questions.
Okay.
They may not be very happy with my positions.
I think on that note, we should take another break.
Okay.
And we will be back.
I'm not going to the Supreme Court. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okie doke, here we are again. Election time! So since we last spoke...
Does the Supreme Court pay well?
Enough. And there are a lot of perks. There are a lot of perks.
Shit! Come on! Sounds a good deal! Is there like a job posting for this?
Yes, I'm sure there's just a posting on the...
maybe it's on LinkedIn.
Yes. And there's probably one of those one-click apply buttons to put your profile in.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I'll get on that.
The salary of the Chief Justice is $223,000. Associate Justice is $214,000.
That's not bad. Hell, I'll take, I mean, you know, geez, it's a lot of work to be Chief Justice. I mean, what the hell? I mean, I'd rather just take an associate. I mean, I could just sit around and just make, you know, just talk bullshit and have other people write what I tell them to write as the opinion. That sounds great to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not a bad gig. Anyway, all right.
But yeah, the primary benefit is, of course, the job security thing.
Yes! Like
once you're in, you're in.
You're in!
You know, until you decide to leave or you die.
Die. I like this. I don't think I'm going to get... you know, damn it. I mean, it depends. By the way,
if you do retire, your pension is not allowed to be less than your salary was.
Even better! And so I get lifetime... Wait. I get guaranteed lifetime employment.
Yes.
I get a guaranteed lifetime pension. So basically, I can decide to quit at any retire at any time, and I will get guaranteed that payout, right? Yes. So I got that. I got health care.
Yes.
And perks, apparently. Yes. Okay, which I don't know what they are, but they're probably pretty good. Come on. It's a great job.
The one thing I found interesting, though, they don't have, like, a protective detail.
No, I I've noticed that. No protective detail. I don't want an entourage. It's okay.
Yeah.
I
just find it interesting that, like, you know, okay, the president gets a protective detail.
I've never heard of an assassination attempt at a Supreme Court justice, I guess. Have they?
I'm sure it's happened. We've got a... 250 year history of the country. It's got to have happened.
No, right? but off the top of my your head,
I don't know of any.
No, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, right? I'm sure that must have happened. You know,
but anyway, not that we are in any way encouraging anything of that sort.
Not even remotely of the sort. We're just. It was just a curious thing. No, I'm actually. I would like to apply for the job if I could get an interview. But apparently, I'm kind of difficult to get an interview for this.
You can just call up Obama and suggest yourself.
All right, I'll give him a call once we're off. You know, is he on Skype?
Yes. Okay. Elections. Since we last spoke, we have had the Nevada caucuses for both the Republicans and the Democrats, and we had the South Carolina primary for the Republicans. That's yet to come for the Democrats. And let's mix it all up instead of doing Republicans and Democrats. So first of all, just the Democrats, let's get it out of the way quickly. Clinton won.
And it goes back to what I kept saying about this thing's over.
Yeah, I mean,
it's over.
It would take a miracle for Sanders to catch up here.
Yes.
I saw a couple of posts basically saying that his plan was to win Nevada and everything else depended on that because he would have momentum coming out of winning both New Hampshire and Nevada, and that would move things further in South Carolina and other states. He did not win Nevada, and he's going to get crushed in South Carolina. The only question is by how much, and there's no doubt that the margin is going to be less than it would have been a couple months ago, but he's still going to lose. And then if you look at the Super Tuesday states, he's got a couple where he looks okay, but for the most part, it's Clinton.
Oh yeah.
If you look at the March 1st states on the Democratic side, let's see, Texas, Clinton 57, Sanders 35. Georgia, Clinton 63, Sanders 25. Massachusetts, this is one where Sanders is ahead, 48-44. Virginia, Clinton 54, Sanders 37. Minnesota, Clinton 54, Sanders 29. Colorado, Clinton 55, Sanders 27. Let's see, Tennessee, Clinton ahead. Alabama, Clinton ahead. Arkansas, Clinton ahead. Oklahoma, Clinton ahead. Vermont, Sanders ahead.
I see a trend.
Yeah, Sanders is ahead in Vermont and Massachusetts. Now, some of these polls are old, but not too old. Most of these have been updated in the last couple weeks. I know the Sanders folks don't want to admit it, and they want to, and they're saying, if you don't count the superdelegates, we're nearly tied in delegates. Well, yeah, okay, well, you know.
Zippity doo-da.
You know.
There are superdelegates. Get over it.
Exactly. You know, and, but they might change their mind. Well, okay, show me.
There's no motivation right now to change your mind.
Right, there's no motivation to change your mind. There doesn't look like there's going to be a motivation to change your mind. And there hasn't been, there are plenty of undecided superdelegates so far, but you haven't seen very many of them come out for Sanders, just a handful here and there. And if every single remaining uncommitted superdelegate came out for Sanders tomorrow, he'd still be behind in the delegate count. In order to catch up, he either has to be winning these primaries and caucuses by 55% plus in terms of the delegate count, not popular vote, or he has to be getting current Clinton superdelegates to change their mind. And that's just not happening. I think so far, as I've been tracking the delegates, there have been two Clinton delegates who were listed as Clinton, who later came out and said, you know, actually, I'm undecided. No, none of them actually came out for Sanders, but two of them said they're undecided. And one of those, by the way, and I don't have the reference in front of me, but one of those said, I'm putting an online poll on my website, and I will give my superdelegate vote to whoever wins the online poll.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I think, you know, again, absent like something major crazy happening, we know who the Democratic nominee is going to be. It's just going to be a matter of grinding it out and getting there. And it's going to happen very quickly in March. It's going to get to the point where, you know, even the most enthusiastic Sanders folks are going to have to come to grips with the fact that they've lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
now Republicans.
Okay. All right. Before we get to that, yes. I looked up to see if any Supreme Court justice of the United States
had ever been assassinated.
And the answer is no.
Have there been attempts?
I haven't found info on attempts. I just found actual murders. The only one that I found, Supreme Court justice of a state,
okay,
that got murdered was the Chief Justice of the New Mexico Supreme Court. Was assassinated, okay, all right, gunshot, killed after a public dispute in which each official accused each other of corruption. Apparently it was an argument with some other government politician. And
was it like a duel?
It was not a duel, as far as I can tell, okay? So that's it. The other guy, closer, a judge. There was a judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals, Fifth Circuit. This was in 1989. Was killed with a mail bomb, okay, in his home. It said here, killed after court refused to expunge from assailant's record previous conviction for explosive possession. So that was...
way to prove your innocence there.
Yes, okay.
I never did the explosive stuff. I'm going to blow up the judge now.
Right. Yep. That's how he proved his innocence. There was actually another judge, U.S. District Court. No, this is 79. No, that's right. The last one, 89. That's the one. Let me see. Yeah. Yep. That's the last one I found.
Okay.
So anyway, yep.
Do. This is Sam from the future here. We're about to talk about the Republicans, so I just wanted to point out that this was recorded before this week's Republican debate leading up to Super Tuesday. And that debate, well, as you probably know, was full of fireworks, with Rubio especially, but also Cruz a little bit, finally laying into Trump and really attacking him and pressing the attack. And so there was a lot of talk in the pundit class about, is Trump damaged? Is he handling this okay? What's going on here? Did somebody finally lay some punches on Trump that hurt, etc.? And I'm not so sure they really did. I think Trump actually parried just fine on most of those attacks. And even on those that he didn't, for the most part, the kinds of things that he was being attacked for and just aren't the kind of things that are going to make much of a difference to the people who would support Trump anyway. But I guess we'll see. We'll see if anything gets, if there's any impact in the polls or in the final results on Super Tuesday. But just as all this media frenzy talking about is Trump damaged, is there, you know, what's going on here? Trump rolled out Chris Christie's endorsement and sort of ended that media cycle cold. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway. We're about to talk Republicans. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew, hey, we recorded it before those two things happened. That's why we didn't talk about them. Back to the show. Republicans. Trump won South Carolina handily. He got all 50 delegates coming out of South Carolina. And he also won Nevada fairly handily. He got 14 out of the 30 delegates there. As I said in my post, which I will point people to, Trump wins Nevada plus a look at Super Tuesday, which I published on Wednesday the 24th, goes into this in detail. But basically, Trump is way ahead of everybody else. If you look at the total delegate count, 81 Trump, 17 Cruz, 17 Rubio. Although I saw one thing I haven't incorporated yet. It looks like Trump may have gotten one more delegate out of New Hampshire and Rubio one less. If I verify that, I'll change my counts appropriately. And then we got Kasich 6, Carson 5, and 7 for miscellaneous people who've dropped out already. So Trump now has a majority of the delegates that have been allocated so far. But more interestingly is let's look at what's coming up. First, Nevada, real quick. People seem shocked by the margin that he won by. It was within error of the polls. And South Carolina.
The only reason was because there was very little polling in Nevada.
There was very little polling, and Nevada was known for inaccurate polling.
But the bottom line is
both South Carolina and Nevada came right in line with the polls, as did New Hampshire before it, and Iowa even. As we talked about at the time, even though people were surprised that Trump came in second, it was still within the margin of error of the most recent polls right before Iowa happened. So everything's been in line with what people should be expecting. But we've still got this major like streak of denial that I think is just starting to like dissipate as people are going, oh, shit, this is real. But,
you know, let me just say this. I don't think maybe... Look, denial. Look, I had a hard time fucking believing that such a significant amount of the voting electorate was a bunch of bigoted assholes.
There you go. The general thing was, and you saw this over and over and over again, ever since he started showing up, ever since he announced his campaign last summer, is exactly this sort of thing. There's no way this will happen. There's no way this will happen. There's no way this will happen. And boom, here we go. It's happening. But I was going to say is people were surprised by his margin, but it wasn't in line with the polls. It was actually in line with the polls. It actually in Nevada wasn't quite enough for him to, be doing what he needed to be on track directly for an outright win, but it was close enough and nobody else was close to him. So he's still better off than anybody else. What I did as well on that post that I mentioned earlier was I went through all of the Super Tuesday states looking at the best polling I had available for each one. Mm-hmm. Although I'm just noticing that
there's a whole bunch of states that they haven't polled in like what a year.
What I was noticing was in Texas, I have listed each of the candidates and the percentages and the poll averages, but Kasich got auto corrected to Quash, and I hadn't noticed it before now.
Well,
I'll have to fix that. Enough. But anyway, so I went through each of these states, looked at the best polling I had, and looked at the specific delegate rules for each state and estimated what they'd come out of that. And if you add all that up out of Super Tuesday, and with all the usual caveats, a lot of these polls are old. Even if they weren't old, we've got almost a week left and things will change, blah, 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 blah. If anything, it looks like Trump is going to be stronger than these polls said. But the estimated coming out of Super Tuesday would be Trump getting 294 delegates, Cruz coming in second with 246, Rubio 67, Kasich 11, 6 Carson. And that was being generous to a couple of those people at the lower end. And so Trump, you know, Cruz is not that far behind Trump in that calculation, but Trump is already ahead. So it ends up being 375 Trump to 263 Cruz. If those numbers came in, now I don't expect those numbers to come in exactly as they are, but I think the general trend will apply, which is that Trump wins most of the states. Cruz may win Texas, Arkansas, a couple of these, but it won't be enough to have him catching up on delegates. And it looks like Rubio is going to be significantly behind all of these others out of Super Tuesday, despite your prediction in December. Mm. You know, and...
is this country this fucked up? I mean, really, Sam? Are we... I mean, Is it fucked up?
Just wait till he wins the general election, Yvonne.
Okay, stop saying those things. I'm like, don't say that. I'm gonna wind up on ulcer medication.
So here, let me jump into this. So actually, finishing up the nomination stuff real quick. If we get after March 1st and it looks anything remotely like this, because nobody else dropped out of after Nevada,
right?
Presumably, somebody else will drop out after Super Tuesday, after March 1st. Mm-hmm. At least one more person, maybe more. But, you know, each of these guys have reasons that they think they want to stick around. Rubio wants to stick around for Florida. Kasich wants to stick around for Ohio. Carson wants to stick around just because he wants to sell more books.
You know? Well, yeah.
So who knows? But between March 1st and March 15th, things get significantly harder on a state by state basis. And if I haven't looked at all of those states in that next couple weeks, but a lot of them are looking good for Trump. And if Trump cleans up on Super Tuesday, it's going to strengthen him on the next round of states. And so, there's been the big, people talking about, is Trump inevitable at this point? No, he's not inevitable quite yet, but it's getting damn close. If anything is going to happen to stop Trump, it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. If he gets past the next 2 to 3 weeks and he's still riding high, it's going to be almost impossible to stop him. And I'd say even now, the stopping him scenarios aren't one of these other guys winning outright. It's forcing a contested convention.
Right.
And that's going to be really hard. Given what the delegate rules are, and given that starting in mid-March, we have winner-take-all states happening, it's going to be really hard to stop them that way. But we shall see. Now, actually, let's take a break, and then let's talk about some general election scenarios just for a few minutes, and then we'll wrap it up. Back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Okay, so we're back. A couple of things real quick. First of all, I mentioned the contested convention scenario. One thing that people have brought up is if Trump gets to the convention with more delegates than everybody else, but not a majority, and then they somehow take it away from him at the convention, does Trump run as a third party? And the answer is, if it plays out that way, it's probably too late. Because if you want to get on the ballot on enough states to make a difference, that process has to be starting basically now. So he can't wait until the convention in, it's in July, right? He can't wait for the convention in the summer in order to decide to be a third-party candidate. It's just too late to get on the ballot in enough places to make a difference. Okay,
before you go into the general election scenarios, did ask my question.
My
question.
Yes, we are that stupid.
That wasn't the question.
Oh, okay, go ahead. What was the question?
My question is, are there just that many assholes in this fucking country?
Yes.
I mean, really?
Yes. Yes. Yes, there are.
I mean, it's scary. I mean, it's scary that in 2016,
look.
I swear to God, it feels like it might as well be 1963.
Well, and just to play devil's advocate for a little bit, not all of them are necessarily assholes, but they are attracted to assholes. And they like what they hear on Trump. And even if they are like, maybe he's a little hyperbolic about, some of these issues, but...
No,
you know,
I think these people... I think that's horseshit. I think they really do like this shit. I think they
are certainly a lot of that.
I think they are the vast majority, a whole bunch of fucking like racist assholes.
I really do. Well, and that brings up the there was a polling result. I believe it was Survey USA of Trump supporters in South Carolina. This is Sam from the future here. It was not a Survey USA poll. In fact, it was two different polls. There was a PPP poll that covered the question about the Confederate battle flag and the question about whether the South should win the Civil War. And then there was a YouGov poll that asked about freeing the slaves in the southern states. For more details, you can look at an article on the New York Times entitled Measuring Donald Trump's Supporters for Intolerance by Lynn Vavreck, published February 23rd, 2016. YouGov also made a note on their own website, a note about our poll on executive orders and slavery, noting that the poll was originally published January 20th, linking to the full data, and also noting that the percentages reported by the New York Times were actually based on a subsequent analysis of the underlying data performed separately by Dr. Lynn Vavreck, the author of that article, who's a professor of political science and communication studies at UCLA. Those analyses use a different subsample of the respondents than those they published. And Dr. Vavreck has shared the full tabulation she used in her article, and they have a link to it. Anyway, there you go. There's the references.
Yeah.
And they asked three questions, if I remember correctly. excuse me. One was, you know, support for the Confederate flag. And it was something like 70% supported the Confederate flag. And then there was another one about the Civil War. And do you wish the South had won? And it was something like 30 or 40% said, yes, they wished the South had won the Civil War.
Okay.
And there were more that were unsure, by the way. Uh-huh. But the one that really like grabbed people's attention, 20% of Trump supporters in South Carolina thought it was a mistake to free the slaves after the Civil War.
Mother of God. Jesus Christ.
Now, you can argue that they weren't being truthful on that poll, maybe. I don't know, but
bullshit. I totally believe it. You know, I saw another interesting stat. You want to know
the thing in the New York Times that stated that nearly 20% of Mr. Trump's voters disagreed with the freeing of slaves in southern states after the Civil War. Only 5% of Mr. Rubio's voters share this view.
Another interesting.
This, by the way, this is a number that should be
zero.
It's inexcusable for this number to be anything other than zero.
Zero!
I mean, you expect a few people fooling around on the polls and stuff, and you expect that you've got a few neo-Nazis out there or a few unabashed, you know, neo-Confederates or whatever. And so you expect maybe a tiny percentage there, but not 5%. Certainly 5% not 20%. You know, yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
The other interesting stat that I saw, of course, you know, and look, and this goes back to the demographic of what the hell is in the fuck voting in this fucking Republican party, which was at the Nevada, caucus. The number was that 95% of the people that voted were, you know, they in the entry polls, they asked them to what racial group you belong to. 95% white.
Uh-huh.
95%.
Hey, but of the Hispanics that voted in the Nevada caucuses, 40 some percent went for Trump.
I can believe that.
And he was very excited about that.
I can believe that. Yes. Apparently of the, you know, right. So out of what? I mean, I think that in Nevada,
there were a couple thousand that voted.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I like everything. I mean, you know, you've got all the, I was thinking, you know, what the demographic composition of Nevada is, which I'm going to guess is, I wonder, you know, how that based on the let me see. What is the population? Quick facts. Here we go. They don't have this is the slow facts. Oh, okay. White alone, let's see. Nevada 76.2, Black or American Indian 9, American Indian 1.6. Let's see, Hispanic.
Yeah.
Okay, Hispanic is 28%. Okay.
But a very small percentage of them probably voted in the Republican caucus versus the Democrat, whatever.
Yeah, a very tiny percent because, you know, white alone is 51.5%. So out of the white alone, which is 51.5%, okay, all right. So, but you got 95% white alone showing up to this thing. White alone in a state where 51.5% is white alone only.
Yes.
That's pretty sick.
And this is something you're seeing demographically for the Republicans in general. And, you know, their postmortem of 2012, you know, said, hey, we have to start appealing to, you know, to other groups.
Apparently,
they're running the other way.
They're running the other way in droves.
Yes.
I will say, I'm going to flat out say this because right now I am at a point right now where just this whole Trump thing just scares me and how what effect it has in the country. Look, I got an envelope today asking me to donate money to Hillary, and I'm actually going to donate.
Wow. There you go.
I don't care if I'm going to go to the streets and protest. There is no godly way that this asshole can be allowed to run the country.
So one more thing.
And to have the assholes that are supporting him have an...
Technical difficulties.
Hello.
Oh, there we go again.
I don't know. I guess it just got irritated. I guess my Skype must be a Trump supporter or something.
It must be. So anyway, I was just going to give one more Trump quote before I talk to a few things about Clinton versus Trump as a possible matchup, which was when Trump won Nevada. The other perfect quote when he was going on about how he had won on all the different demographics.
I know.
And he mentions that, and I did well among the poorly educated. And then he says, I love the poorly educated.
I know. That was just, I mean.
Anyway, look, so if we end up with Clinton versus Trump, which seems like the most likely combination right now, we can work out scenarios where it ends up being differently, but that looks like the most likely combination. Here's the thing I've been thinking more and more about. One, we've talked before about how good he is at sort of exploiting people's weaknesses and going after them. And we've talked about how Hillary is inherently a weak candidate and doesn't do that well in all kinds of different scenarios. So here's one, like just as an example, you know, we've talked about the email thing and about how people for the most part don't care anymore. And there's probably not going to be, you know, legal actions, who knows, but here's Trump's strategy there. Forget about the legal implications. Forget about trying to go there. Just hammer her the way you and I did. Are you a complete dumbass? Are you so stupid that you can't figure out how to properly use email? Are you so stupid that you jeopardized security by doing blah, 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 and gave up secrets or whatever? And you're just an idiot.
Well, you can do that, but I gotta be honest.
But here's my point.
But Trump has a... Trump, look.
Look, here's my point.
Trump has shown lately it doesn't matter. He can get flustered.
No, he can. But here's my point. He picks something like that and goes after it, not from the point of view of anything rational or a coherent argument. And we know there's a vulnerability there on the email stuff, but pick it simply as you're stupid. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're an idiot.
That's fine.
But here's the thing.
I get that.
And so
who does that get?
That's
who does that get?
It gets
his people, the ones that he's getting right now.
No, I think it gets a lot of people because it's an area that Clinton is vulnerable on. But it's not just. I don't want to get hung up on that particular thing. The point is that is his style of attack is going to be like that.
Okay,
he's going to call her stupid.
But I will get back that to the fact that if you've seen the last few debates, okay, all right,
he's gotten flustered.
He has gotten flustered because people started figuring out where the fuck to hit him that it hurts.
That's okay? True. Right. And like Hillary's tack, honestly, is to just laugh at him.
Yes.
That's the counter argument to him.
I agree.
You know? But, by the way,
I don't know if you saw it. I was watching the town hall yesterday. That's what she's been doing now with the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
She's figured out that putting the scowl and getting to whatever doesn't really work. Okay, all right. That's just driving people off. So, Colbert was making fun of her about something.
Yeah.
And she just, you know what she did? She laughed, and not just that. Started making fun of herself about it.
Well, and here's the thing. I could see on a debate stage, one is laugh at him and treat him as a joke. Mm-hmm. The other is actually give him the same thing. Is like, look him straight in the eye after he says something outrageous and say something like, "You pitiful little man."
Yeah. But listen,
you know, and
that's what Carly Fiorina did to very good effect. And that's how all of a sudden she surged into polls.
Yeah. And so the thing is, though, I don't know if Hillary can.
Seeing her how she's been doing it lately. I'm feeling pretty confident of her ability to deal with it.
Because
she has on stage just gotten over the last, I don't know.
She's gotten better.
Incredibly better.
And you know, doing this back and forth with Bernie has probably helped quite a bit. But I still have these visions of like Clinton and Trump together on a stage.
I just don't think she's gonna flop. If you would have told me like last year, like during the summer, I would have said yeah. But the way that I've been seeing that she's been handling a lot of this stuff, I don't think she's gonna flop. She's been under. Let me put it this way: think about the intense pressure that she's been on, like right now, because of underperformance. Right? She didn't crack. And flip out or whatever, or say something stupid or whatnot, and just, of course, okay. I just don't think she's gonna crack. I mean,
I don't know.
She got put under 14 hours of congressional testimony in this fucking email thing. Okay, all right, and Benghazi and all this other nonsense. Right? Did she crack?
So you think Clinton versus Trump would go better than Bush versus Trump?
Oh, yeah.
Because Trump demolished Bush up until the last couple of debates.
Oh, yeah. I totally believe so. Yeah. I totally 100% believe so. I mean, Jesus, for the love of God, Bush in the summer had no answer when they asked him about Iraq and his brother.
Yeah, he was pretty pitiful.
Yeah, give me a break.
I can see that. But I still, until I see it, I will be very anxious, and we will have to do live commentary on the first Hillary versus Trump debate, but a lot is going to depend on how that goes.
I really do believe that in that encounter, I think she would do just fine.
I think
it may not be a knockout. Listen, because she doesn't need out of these debates. What do you need? You don't need to be a knockout blow. You just don't need to look like a loser.
Well, here's the thing. Trump is also, his whole thing is based on this whole hyper-masculine blah, blah, blah. If she comes in there and gets a few good blows in that make him look emasculated, that hurts him badly.
Yes, it does.
You know, so, but...
Which is why...
But at the same time...
I'm saying, it's like...
But if at the same time, if he's a bully and she doesn't stand up to it properly, you know, then he comes out of it good. I could see this going all kinds of different ways. Like my gut feeling, I know you feel confident that Hillary can stand
up. By that time that he gets to this, I mean, I'm sorry, but
by that, yeah.
She's going to have so much time to have like,
she's going to have like psychologists on her staff trying to figure out what's the best way to get under his skin.
Exactly. Yeah. She's gonna have plenty of time.
But of course, the flip side of that is he's got a natural instinct for how to get under her skin.
But I think, look, I think a lot of times, like, you know, like, look, preparation a lot of times trumps a lot of these things. No pun intended. Okay. But, you know, but look, there can only be so many avenues and there's only so much shucking and jiving that Trump does. And I'm sorry, his shucking and jiving in terms of debate stage, which is not translating into votes right now, but we're talking about debate. And remember, the debate, all we're talking about, we've seen in the debates, is unless you have a Dan Quayle moment, okay, even at that, those guys still won the ticket, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, it has to be a major flub. All you need to do is just get through the middle of it. That's it. You get through that, your supporters are usually not going to go out unless you just all of a sudden go on there and, like, well, go and, like, do what Trump did and just, you know, basically, you know, or even that didn't count against him. He went and he fucking, like, ripped every Republican ideology, attacked G.W. Bush, attacked the Iraq war, said that all you sucked, that we got attacked under Republican watch, and the son of a bitch didn't lose a vote.
No, I mean, in fact, he probably did better because of it. And as has been pointed out, with Bush dropping out of the race, Trump actually got a significant portion of the Bush voters.
Yep.
You know, the other thing, moving on a little bit from how they will do the personal attacks against each other, and I still think, yeah, Trump's got some, he's good at that. But the other thing is that
he has not been as good. I'm sorry. He has not shown to be as good as the debates have gone on.
That's true. People have figured out how
he was really successful at the beginning
because he had everybody off their balance. And exactly. Now they've sort of figured out how to react to him.
They have not fallen for that shit anymore in any of the debates.
So anyway, the other thing I was going to say, though, is that he also, because of this whole thing that you just mentioned, how he's taken on these Democratic positions in some of these Republican debates, is he's going to be in a weird position where, depending on the issue, he could come at Hillary either from the right or the left. So, for instance, he can go after her for the Iraq war stuff and bad judgment about getting us into wars, both Iraq and Libya and blah, 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 and come at her from a peacenik sort of point of view from the left on those kinds of issues. Hell, he's for universal health care. He can come at her from the same position that Bernie's coming at him, where he wants to do.
But at the same time,
on other issues, okay, he's going to be coming from the right.
But how does that? Okay.
All I'm saying is it scrambles things because it scrambles things.
But at the end, it's like,
no. Here's the thing. The reason why scrambling things matters is because you're not directly on the straight up left right axis that everybody has become used to over the last few decades. You suddenly have things where you can have somebody who's left wing on a lot of things say, you know, actually, Trump's not that bad on these things. Maybe I should consider him. Even though I disagree with him on that other thing, he sounds pretty good on blah. And, you know, he was right about Iraq and,
okay,
and
whatever. I agree, but I'm going to go back to something, which is go back to 2012. What happened to Mitt? Why didn't he win?
Well, he'd had to push himself so far right that he couldn't get back.
And how did he do with minority groups?
He didn't do well there.
No, he didn't. Look, it's like,
so, I mean, but what Trump is counting on? I don't think Trump is counting on suddenly converting a lot of minority groups. He's counting on running up the vote on old white males.
By the way, Romney did that the last election.
I know, and but he didn't Trump win. Thinks he's going to do more.
He's going to do more. I think. Look, Romney. Let me see. What was okay? I believe that Romney won like 80% of that vote or some shit like that.
I don't know. It was high.
There aren't just that many of them.
I think the other thing that we've talked about before, and I don't want to get into it too much, is I do think Trump has shown a remarkable ability to reinvent himself, and he is telegraphed that once he gets into the general election race, he's going to put on a very different face. And I think we're going to start seeing that. And I think you're going to see a lot of people waffling. And hell, even I start hearing myself before I slap myself thinking, oh, maybe Trump wouldn't be that bad. He used to be kind of a moderate Democrat. And, you know, he's probably really a moderate.
Could you just go to the bathroom and start slapping yourself around for a few minutes?
Well, I said I get over it. But I mean, I find my I think.
Okay, he won 50. Okay, Romney, I think a lot of people. 59% of the white vote. Okay, Romney won 6% of the African American vote and 27% of the Hispanic vote. Now, I guarantee you this: that the Hispanic vote right now for the Republicans right now is going into the sub single digits. Right now,
haven't you listened to Trump? The Mexicans love him.
Yeah, of course.
The Hispanics love him.
Yep.
Everybody loves him.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves him. And he loves everybody, too. Stupid, smart, whatever. You know, he loves them all.
He loves poorly educated.
Poorly educated, yes. You know.
No, but the point is, I think he can pivot. I think he will be better at pivoting than Mitt Romney ever was. He will start taking people who haven't been paying attention so far and sound reasonable to them. And... yeah, I'm not predicting a Trump.
What about the fucking wall he keeps talking about every goddamn week?
Oh, well, the Mexicans will pay for that.
Of course.
No, but look, I'm not predicting a Trump win at this point. The numbers don't show that yet. But I've said all along, it's not a blowout. He's going to be closer than people think he is.
It's not a blowout.
And
that's the thing that fucking concerns me.
And he's got a chance.
It's the fact that fucking people, I mean, it's like,
And I would not put his chances of winning at zero. I'd put them at like 10 or 20%. So chances are Hillary is going to be the next president of the United States. But I'm alarmed when I say I think Trump's chances are 10 or 20%. That's amazingly high to me. But I think I think everybody has had a tendency to underestimate him over and over and over again. And I think he's got a lot of skills here and he knows how to win an election and he's going to be very dangerous in a general. And anybody sort of dismissing that is being foolish. He is a real threat. And I agree with you. I think he's incredibly dangerous. I do not want him to be president. And I think people, you know, and I'm not a Hillary fan, but I may end up where you are, where like I was thinking, you know, Gary Johnson or something or blah, blah, blah. It may come down to, my God, I don't care what else happens in this election. We have to stop Trump.
Exactly.
Sam from the future here, just to point out that I do know that I actually live in Washington State, which is probably a very safe Democratic state regardless. So I'm actually probably safe to vote third party if I wish to, without endangering the overall results of the election in any way. But, you know, the overall point still kind of stands.
There's just nothing else to do at this point. There just isn't. Fuck this shit. We can't have this psychotic running the country.
Now, of course, people have also said, well, he doesn't really want to run the country. He'll nominate some vice president, and then like 5 days into office, he'll be like, ah, fuck this shit. He can run it.
God's sakes.
And I've said before, the most hilarious thing in the world would be if he wins the nomination, he's at his nominating speech, he's just been nominated.
He doesn't accept it?
If he comes up there, I could just see this happening. Like, he comes up to a stage and says, thank you very much for nominating me. You are a bunch of fucking idiots. Have you looked at my history? I'm a goddamn Democrat. And now I'm your nominee and there's nothing you can do about it.
Now that would be, I would say that would be, you know, insane. And just funny. Yes,
but I'm not predicting that. I just think it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But
so it said here, by the way, the gender gap in the 2012 vote, it was the largest in Gallup history.
Right.
The largest ever. Okay. Basically, a lot of fucking angry white men. You know. And by the way, I have a lot of white men that are friends of mine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all of them. I mean, I am a Hispanic white. I'm not fucking, I'm not a black Hispanic, okay? So, you know. But I don't know. I'm just appalled.
That's all I can say. My only point is do not underestimate this man's skills.
At this point, I am not anymore.
And
When last year when he ran, and remember the Huffington Post made this joke about putting a coverage in the entertainment section or whatever, I actually thought the same thing as they did. Come on, this guy's not serious, right? You know, whatever. This is nuts. I mean, what the hell? The launch, the thing, the whatever. It just didn't seem serious. And, you know, and now look at where we are. The guy may get this stupid nomination. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just insane.
Yep. And, Yeah. We'll see. Like, I would not be surprised in the slightest, though. When I'm doing the tracking of the state-by-state polls, I would not be surprised if at some point between now and November, those polls actually show him in the lead against Hillary. We'll see how that goes.
Please stop saying that stuff. Please stop saying that stuff. Please stop saying that stuff. No.
President Trump, Yvonne. President Trump.
Yeah. Anyway.
And that's a show. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us once again. Do give us feedback, like I said, on Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. You can also find us at curmudgeons-corner.com. Leave us comments on how you want our shows to be. Long, short, many topics, a few topics, whatever, or on anything else you want to tell us. We love to get your feedback and respond to it here on the show. And anything else to say, Yvonne?
No.
Go Trump.
Go where? Where can we send him to? Can we put him on a rocket? Can we send him to Mars? Maybe we can meet the president of Mars. Oh, well, he'll go with his hair.
Jeff Bezos suggested that at some point.
I love that idea.
Trump made some comment, and Bezos said I'd be happy to give him a space on my rocket.
Great.
Anyway. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye.